Welcome to Canoe. I'm Junior.
And I'm Jordan. We're two pastors, but don't worry, we're not going to preach.
Nah, we think the best conversations happen on a canoe.
Especially ours.
So whether you're on a run, in the kitchen, or on your commute, grab a paddle, hop in the canoe. Let's navigate a river together.
Merv Grzinski.
What's that? How are we starting this right now?
This is Merv.
Merv, what?
Yeah, it's a canoe story, but it's a little early. I just thought we'd start with it.
Merv what?
Merv Grzinski.
Is what?
He's a man. He's a guy.
Okay. Right, okay.
Listen to the story.
Okay, sorry.
Merv Grzinski.
I like your name already, bro.
He bought a new Winnebago. And he went out. He was on the highway driving, 70, 80.
Yeah.
He's just
living life.
Goes ahead. He puts the Winnebago on cruise control. Then he proceeds to stand up, go to the back of the Winnebago, and he makes himself
Stop.
A sandwich.
He does not.
Yeah, I promise you, the whole thing flips, turns over. Get this. Merv sues Winnebago for $1.7 million.
Did he win?
He won $1.7
million, no.
And he won a new Winnebago.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they didn't tell him that. Once you put it on cruise control, doesn't mean that you have to stay there.
My man Merv has got some. I like this guy. There's got to be more to the story, though. There's got to be. Like, I like to think, like, there's, like, Merv sitting there looking through the Winnebago, and the salesman's probably just like talking up a storm. Because, there's a lot of new features on cars, where if you veer into the other lane, it corrects or it stops before it hits the car in front of you. The salesman's probably like, Merv, listen.
This story's from 2005.
Oh, okay.
We just got out of the stick shift realm. All right.
This is from 2005. That's almost a
cruise control
story.
Yeah, cruise control was probably like a new
thing.
They
didn't have the autocorrect lanes.
Yeah, I know. They probably just got cruise control and he's like, I wonder if it can do this. And then he goes and makes a sandwich.
I wonder if he was at least on a straightaway.
Or LSD.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Many of us are Merv Krasinski. Many of us are Merv Krasinski, just going throughout life in cruise control. Not in cars right now. In life. In marriage. In work. Physically. You're in cruise control.
And it is draining.
Making a sandwich in the back.
Making a sandwich. And you're heading towards a crash. It's draining. How do you get out of that? How do you get out of cruise control? That's what we're talking about today.
This is why Jordan and I do what we do. This is why Jack is in the studio, because we want to save your life from a crash and from winning $1.7 million.
Yeah, that's true. Every analogy falls short
sometimes.
That's
right. Hey, we're going to talk about cruise control rivers on the docket today. But first, we've got...
Where'd you go? We've missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since we have been together.
Junior, if you had to bring one of these things back, I'm about to tell you, which one would you bring back?
Okay.
Would you rather bring back puka shells necklaces? Remember those? Did you ever wear one of those?
Oh, those like the little shells that...
The little white puka shell necklaces
that
everyone wore.
Yeah, I had one.
Of course you did. With that, with the frosted tips, couldn't go wrong.
I rock the frost. Although I could never get the frosted tips right. They're always orange. My hair has some red tints to it, I guess.
And, puka shells and your frosted tips. Or would you bring back tying a flannel around your waist?
Wait, isn't tying your flannel around, that went out? I thought that's still kind of in.
Where have you seen someone in the last 10 years with a flannel?
Jack's in the canoe right now. I'm pretty sure when we were in Turkey, Jack, you tied your flannel around your waist. Did you not? Yeah, he's nodding his head. He said it once or twice. It's still in, man. You've just been missing out for the last... And he was working. I don't know what that has to do.
I feel like Jack, our producer here, he's kind of like on the edge of like... I don't want to say he's in with style. He's like ahead of style,
I can see that.
So he's... Yeah, so I feel like it's coming back, which is great. I praise God.
The flannel's coming back. The flannel around your waist is coming back.
Yeah, and I do. I think it's a wonderful
thing. Jack's bringing it back.
I think it's a wonderful thing because where have you been? Where do you put your coat now? If it's too hot out, what do you have to do? You have to carry
don't
it around?
Don't people tie it around their neck? I feel like classy men tie it around their neck. I don't do that because I'm not classy.
I've only seen that in Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I feel like you would see that on the golf course. You don't see that on the golf course?
No.
Come on. I would see like preppy guys tying it around their neck.
Those are the movies. Where do you hang out? You're seeing flannel? Like,
not at golf courses, oh, apparently. What would you bring back? I feel like you would rock the puka shells tomorrow.
Dude, those puka shells are sick.
Bring it back.
I bring back the puka, like, and the flannel.
You go to the bridge, you know, where that one pastor wears the puka shells?
He's got the orange tips and the puka shells.
Hey, orange tips are mine, okay? Nobody can have that. I have copyrighted the orange tips. You ever heard of the law of the rubber band?
The law of the rubber band.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a John Maxwell thing. You know, John Maxwell's a big author.
I've only heard of, like, rappers talk about it.
Rappers?
Yeah. Like rubber band, the rubber band.
What is that?
It's like a thing for like money. You, instead of money clips, like in the hood.
You rubber band bands. Your money?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
All the dealers?
I've never heard that.
And all the rappers?
Oh, never heard that.
Is that what we're talking about?
No. Talking about John Maxwell. Who talks about the law of the rubber band is that a rubber band is only useless or is only useful when it's stretched.
Oh, when there's tension.
When there's tension. If there is no tension in a rubber band, it is completely useless. And it's the same with people.
With our lives.
Yes. That if we're not stretched, I don't know, we're not really doing anything. Mm. We are most useful when we are stretched. It's the law of the rubber band. Problem is that many people are living life in cruise control. We get the job we want. We maybe marry the person that we want to marry. We have a few kids. And now it's just all about, let's just try to make things comfortable. Let's make things predictable instead of really stretch myself to take this marriage further, to help these kids go further, to take this job further, to take God's kingdom further.
Yeah, so we hit our goals, these goals we want. And then once we hit them, we've made them. And now we just kind of coast.
That's right. So how do you know you're in cruise control?
And I think part of the problem is you can only coast for so long before all of a sudden you're just bored and you start to feel more useless.
Or you crash like Merv Krasinski.
Before you crash. You're right. Before that tension wears out, you need to be stretched more.
So how do you know if you're in cruise control? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question, because the first half of the river, we're dealing with just that. A few signs that you are in cruise control in life. I guarantee you're at least one of these. You might even be all of them. Let's see which one you are. Number one, you rarely try anything new.
You're boring.
Yeah, that's right. No new foods. You're just stuck on the same foods. No new hobbies. Been doing the same hobby for years.
You're not learning anything new.
No new books.
Not going anywhere new.
No new friends. It's just been kind of the same friends.
You're a loser. No, you're not. You've been stuck. That's you're right. On cruise control and you need to get out of
it. Why do you think people don't try anything new?
I think a lot of people don't try anything new because they're afraid of failing.
Okay.
They're scared. And failing's a natural part of learning something new. You're not going to be good at something the very first time you try it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not.
Yeah.
Failure's a part of life. And when you're scared of failing, you're never going to try anything new and you're going to get stuck.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I hang out with people, and I hate saying this because then it's like, I don't want people, next time you hang out with me, I don't want people to be like, oh, I got to, you know, act this way or whatever. But when I hang out with people, the most fun people to hang out with are the people who always try something new.
Oh, they're a blast, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, they just tried this new food, and I want to hear about this. Yeah. I just went to this new place. Oh, yeah, tell me about it. I just met these new friends, or I just read this new book. Mm-hmm. Those are fun conversations.
Yeah.
But the people who never try anything new, they're the safest people. And honestly, they're a little bit hard to be around.
Yeah.
Nothing new to talk about. We're talking about the same thing we did last time.
Yeah, that's funny. It reminds me of growing up, I'd always get, whenever we went to a restaurant, I'd always would get something new at the restaurant. And my dad would get so pissed because I'd order something new and I hated whatever I got every time. He's like, why don't you just get the same thing? And I'm like, because I want to find the thing that's going to be amazing. And so I feel like I try to bring that in where I'm like, I want to try new stuff because what if I love it? I picked up golf because everyone loves golf. I was sucking. I mean, I still suck at golf.
Well, you got a really good score though when you went down on your golfing trip.
It was great. It was good for me.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's still the fact of like, I just want to try something new because there's so much, life is enjoyable and you got to go after and you got to start something new and you got to stretch yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the last time you tried something new? Like really went out on a limb and you just tried a new dish, a new restaurant, a new hobby, read a new book that you wouldn't normally read or hung out with some friends that you wouldn't normally hang out with. When was the last time you actually risked, stepped on a limb and tried something new?
Now, Junior, a lot of that stuff is fun, though, and even like my golf hobby. But what about when it comes to trying something new that's a challenge?
I think that's the biggest deal.
I do, too. So And that's usually the scariest stuff to fail at, where people don't ever try. So I think of a big example is we wrote a couple books now.
Yeah.
But even think of your first book. Did you ever imagine writing a book in your life?
No, because I could hardly imagine reading a book. I'm going to try to write one. And it was mainly I did that because, like, I just want to say that I can, that I did it, you know.
But I bet it looked, when you sat down and was like, I'm going to write a book, I bet it felt like a mountain.
Oh, like I was never going to finish. Like, it was ridiculous. I tried writing 3 books before I wrote my first.
Oh. But then, and then you did it, and you're like, wait, I can actually do this. And now you wrote 2 others.
Well, yeah. So when I got done with the first book, then I was like, wait, I can actually do this. And then within a year, I was done with that book.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you stretch yourself, you told yourself, I can do this.
Yeah, like,
you showed yourself.
There's something about trying something new that revitalizes you, that gets you out of cruise control and keeps you fresh and keeps you shooting for more.
Yeah. And I think there's that real tangible anxiety of failure. But I think what's even more scary is thinking and wasting your life.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be scared of failing, or do you want to be scared that you're going to waste your life?
You know, I was just talking with a business owner who had said, he was just talking about different cultures. And he said, it's interesting, here in the United States, we're so afraid of failure. Cause I was actually talking about something that I'm thinking about, but like, I just don't want to fail at, and I was really scared. And he goes, you know, when you go, he's talking about Israel. He goes, you know, when you go to Israel, like, people fail all the time, and it's just like, it's actually kind of a badge of honor. Like, oh yeah, I tried that and it failed. And like, people don't look at it the way that we do in the United States. But there's something about like learning to fail and also to kind of take enjoyment in the risk of it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that keeps people out of from their New Year's resolutions is, you know, they'll say, I'm going to lose all this weight and go to the gym. And they'll go to the gym, but they don't want to, they'll make a membership, but they don't actually go in because they're afraid to walk around. And I don't know what this machine does. And I think we talked about that on this podcast, because those videos of people trying to use machines wrong are just hilarious, and they don't want to make those videos. But they'll walk, and they're afraid to try those new machines, afraid to try that workout because I've never done that before. So they never actually accomplish it. But there is some of that fun element of like, I'm just learning here, and this is just kind of fun, and actually like owning it and feeling like a fool at first.
I love this. I love talking about this. Can you imagine how different our world would look if everyone just decided to go after the thing they were afraid of?
Yeah.
Like the thing they want. Go write the book. Go travel.
Go look like a fool for a second.
Yeah, go do it. Can you imagine how different our world would look? Yeah, I get motivated by it.
Instead, and here's where I never thought about this until now, Jordan. Sometimes it's our pride that keeps us in cruise control. I don't want to fail because I don't want to hurt my pride.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to stay at this speed, at this rate, in this spot.
I got this perceived image and I like where I'm at. Man, think about where you could be.
That's right. All right, number 2, a second sign that you're in cruise control. You feel like you've arrived.
That reminds me of my favorite quote. I don't know who said it. I think it was John Maxwell. He says, when you think that you've arrived, you have just well short of your potential. Isn't that good?
That wasn't Maxwell, bro. That was me.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was. I said that.
You did not say that.
I said that,
dude.
Yeah, I wrote that like a long time ago.
I'm Googling it
okay,
now.
Google
You're
it.
A liar,
Google
dude.
Put, yeah, well, get on Snopes. And I will. I'll give you $10 if I'm wrong.
Okay. Did you actually say that? It's not coming up for
did
John
Waxwell.
Google?
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote that. Yeah. I put that in a sermon a while ago, and then I've repeated it since.
It's made its way into my deep subconscious.
Oh,
and so,
hey,
you've inspired
me. Let's keep that, because one of my life goals would be to just have one quote that people say, hey, you know, Junior Ziegler said.
That's it, dude. That's your quote. That's your quote.
No,
if you
joking.
Think that you've arrived, you have well short of your potential. Yeah. And I do think that's such a big deal, because I think we all get to this place in life where you have some goals, you have some success, and then you're like, great, I've made it. And then you just kind of taper off.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Most guys' haircut is the exact same haircut they had when they graduated high school.
You know that?
That's not your haircut, though.
Mine?
It's not mine. Jack, you have the same haircut that you had. Okay, so not in this room, because
I don't
we keep things fresh.
Well, yeah, I don't intentionally, because I remember your dad saying that.
Yeah, but
so,
most guys.
So I got a mullet.
That's why you have a mullet. Because you didn't graduate in the 80s. But most guys have the same haircut now, different hairline maybe and different hair color maybe, but same exact hairstyle that they had when they graduated high school. And the reason is because those were the glory days. Those are the days where I kind of feel like I've arrived. I'm kind of big
or even
stuff
if you didn't,
here.
Those were the days when you had to try something new. Like your teenage years and those early young adult years, you have to try something new in order to fit into life.
Yeah.
But then you get your career, you get your haircut. haircut, you get your house, your
top dog
as
a senior.
You get everything, and now you just coast. That's why some of the most boring people in the world are old people. No offense if you consider yourself in that category. But you know this. And you know it because some of your friends are some of the most boring people because they haven't tried anything new forever.
They peaked.
Yep.
They and in fact, going back to why I wrote a book, I think I hit a midlife crisis in my mid-30s because I was like, I feel like I don't want to peak. I want to write more. I want to do more. But a lot of people peak in their 20s, in their early 30s, and then they just stay there in cruise control and they keep the same haircut.
I'm excited to get to my midlife crisis. Was yours? How was yours?
Dude, our church posted a picture of me from Easter this last weekend. I look so gray. I went through midlife crisis right away. Just seeing that picture. I told Nicole, I was like, I want to get a nose ring. She's like, why? I was like, I just want to feel young. I don't know.
I don't know if a nose ring is going to really do it for you, bud.
I think I could pull off a nose ring. Nicole thinks I can't. So,
Funny.
I hit that midlife crisis. It'll be fun to see you hit that midlife crisis.
Hmm. That's cool. Is it kind of like like with women with their menstrual cycle? Is it kind of like that for men?
I don't think at all.
Hmm.
You mean menopause?
Yeah.
No.
Like what's the guy menopause?
I don't think guys go through menopause because we can't create.
Oh, I know we don't, but what's our emotional menopause?
A manopause? Do we have one?
That's good. I'm coining
that, dude. I hope that's not my only quote when I die.
Dude, Junior created manopause. That's good. So what's our manopause?
I don't know.
Cruise control.
There you go. So some guys have the same haircut since high school. Going back to that, I don't know how to steer this back.
What's number three?
Number three, I also want to talk about one other thing, though, with this whole idea of you've arrived. And you know this, too. When we hire people from Bible college, we feel like the first few months, we've got to, beat them down just a little bit. I was the same way. Mm. Go through Bible college, I learned all this Bible. I'm going to go into church as an expert that knows more about the Bible than the majority of people. Feel like I've arrived. And then, just way under your potential. Yeah. And we're this way all the time. You go through training at work or you get that promotion. It's like, hey, I've arrived. Okay, well, then I guess you have.
That's true.
Keep shooting.
You know what's funny? The older I've gotten, the more I realize I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I think even when I was younger and I actually knew a lot less when I was younger, but I thought I knew a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the sign of true wisdom is when you start to realize how little you actually know.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking with a guy about that. He was driving me between campuses during service. And he told me, he's like, man, sometimes I learn that I'm wrong and most people hate it. I love it when I learn that I'm wrong. It's like, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That you crave to know that you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're not in cruise control. All right, number three. You haven't done much about your weaknesses. Yeah, you're just as unorganized as you were last year. You're just as undisciplined as you were last decade. You're just as bad as eating as you were last year. And the weaknesses that you have, you just try not to think about them because they make you feel bad. And so instead of shoring them up or working on them or finding a way to do better, you just try not to think about
them. So is it about that you don't identify your weakness, or you think it's more about that you just have, that you know the weakness and you haven't worked on it?
Either you don't identify it, which that usually takes a lot of pride that you can't actually see your weakness. Or number two, you do know your weaknesses, you just try not to think about them. And you don't do anything about them. Okay. You're just in cruise control.
Because I'd probably challenge you on this one a little bit, because I do think that weakness, I think we should focus more on our strengths, right? And work on our strengths rather than our weakness. Because I think if people work on their weakness, you only get a little bit better rather than, I just think I see a lot of people, especially in professional world, where they spend all this time working on their weakness and it actually takes them away from working on their strengths and what they're good at.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I think of the movie Rudy. You know, where the guy was a terrible football player and he just worked on it all the time. It's like, dude, if you would have put that into what you were actually good at, you'd have been done a lot better than playing one game in college.
I'm going to stop you right there. You can't mess with Rudy, bro. You can mess with a lot of people.
I took it too far. I think the difference here, though, is in all of us, there are weaknesses that we can sometimes. So there are weaknesses that I have when it comes to leadership where I think I'm not going to work on that. I'm actually going to find a teammate that's their strength and then we're going to work together. And I think that actually works best. And that's God, helping us live in community. But there are also things that I have where I'm like, that's a weakness of mine that I have to get better at. I can't be undisciplined and wake up late. I have to work on that weakness and get up early. I can't just eat whatever I want. Like, okay. I have to work on that weakness of my eating habits. Otherwise, that will crash me. But that's these true. Other things, that these other weaknesses that I have, they could crash me, but I can actually team up with somebody who's really good at that.
Okay, and I actually, and you're right. I'd actually say all of those are your strengths, but even your strengths have weaknesses that you need to shore up. That's why they're not as strong as they could be.
What do you mean?
I mean that you have strengths.
Yeah.
But the reason why your strengths are not as strong as it could be is because there's weaknesses attached to those strengths. Yeah, yeah. So really, we're talking too about... working on those weaknesses that are attached to your strengths.
Well, in truth, if you're in cruise control, you're not working on anything. You're not trying to get better at your strengths, and you're not trying to identify and figure out your weaknesses either. You're just coasting and relying on your talent and experience.
Your Merv.
And your opportunity.
Krasinski.
Yeah. Don't be a Merv Krasinski. All right. How do you break out of cruise control? We're going to hit that in just a second. But first, we've got some
news. There's an article that's surfacing online of Nicolas Cage. Whenever it's Nicolas Cage, you know it's going to be good. Nicolas Cage is saying that his earliest memory was of him being inside his mother's womb.
Okay. What?
No. Before you dog
Nicolas
on him,
Cage
okay?
is taking drugs should be the headline of this article.
No. Listen, because I've told you this years ago. I kind of relate to him. I feel like my earliest memory, I remember being in the womb.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. It was kind of like translucent, really dark.
What do you mean translucent?
Wet.
It would have been black.
No, not when the light, it depend, the light would shine through.
Stop.
Okay, hey.
The light would shine through.
Yeah, and I remember my little hands in front of me. Ring, ring. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay. You want me to tell you what you and Nicolas Cage remember other than being on drugs?
What?
I think that you as guys as children were thinking, I wonder what it would have been like to be in my mom's tummy. And then you just are misremembering that memory of what you were thinking. That's what I think.
Quite possibly.
Heck of a lot more.
Well, you tell me this, okay, Mr. Nostalgia. What's the earliest memory you have growing up? Like, think back to your earliest memory you can think of. What is it?
I don't know which ones were earlier, but I remember being at the barber shop in Stoughton, Wisconsin, and getting my hair cut.
How old?
A very early memory. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in school or preschool yet.
Was there a picture of it?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
And my barber had white hair and a mustache. Okay. And my grandpa took me. I remember that.
Okay.
I also remember being babysat. You know who Matt Kenseth is?
No.
Okay. Well, he's an NASCAR driver.
Okay.
And his family babysit me sometimes. And one of the people in their family was this big, like, overweight dude with a long white beard and long white hair. And I'd scream every time I saw him. So that was like a core memory of screaming every time I saw him.
You know what? I think we just found the root of your anxiety. I did it.
I just don't like Santa Claus.
Yeah, you're cured.
What's your earliest memory? It's not being in...
It could be that, but if I
had... It's not if yeah, I had it
to,
could be
If
it.
I had to fast forward, I remember when I was 3 years old with my dad making matzo ball soup.
Stop. Are you for real?
Yeah. I remember 3 years old and making the little... Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We're not even Jewish.
But it's somehow a core memory.
Yeah, core memory. Matzo ball soup.
So you're in cruise control because we all find ourselves in cruise control from time to time. Some of us are deep, deep in cruise control. And some of us are just like, hey, I got some things that I really need to kind of get out of a rut here on. How do you get out of cruise control? Well, number one, you ready? This is very specific. But okay. I just want to see if you do it.
Give me something.
Sunday night before the week. Challenge yourself to get 10% better at something that week.
10% is a lot.
10% can be a lot.
Can you just say 1%?
Go 5% then. But 10% for me is easier to qualify. So I try to end Shabbat, and I don't do this near as much as I should, but on like a perfect Shabbat, like Sundays, you know, when I Sabbath, Sunday night as the sun sets, that's when I kind of get ready for the week, and I'll pack up and get everything ready, you know, meal prep, whatever.
Make your matzo ball.
Make my matzo ball soup with Larry. I will try to sit down and just think about how can I be 10% better at something this week. So if I biked for 10 miles, can I do 11 this week? You know, so I'll like look at my watch. Can I take 10% more steps, or can I do 10% better at a sermon in the sense of I cut it down time wise, or I always just try to think, how can I quantify getting better this week? 10%.
Okay. So I like the 10%. Or if you don't want to do the 10%, you could just say, what's one thing that I could be intentionally focused on getting better at this week? There Pick one thing this week.
Have you ever tried this, Jordan?
I haven't. It sounds wonderful.
You have never tried this?
I mean, I guess I have seasons where I want to get better at this.
I feel like you get better at a lot of stuff.
I've never done per week, though.
Never done it by per week. All right. Try it per week. Okay. Sunday night. End Sabbath by just thinking, how can I go after one thing this week?
I'm gonna be 11% better. That's my goal. Okay, this week up. I'm working on being 11% better than Junior.
I'm gonna be 13%.
Challenge number two.
Do something new every day. Something new. You just decide something new today. Maybe it's a new podcast that I've never listened to. Maybe it's a new route to work that I'm gonna take. I know that sounds really crazy, but I had a professor in college. He's one of my favorite professors. And he had said, yeah, you want to know how to be a little bit more creative? Because he's a super creative guy. He'd ride a scooter with a helmet in the halls. Like, the guy was just, he was
sounds
insane.
Like a whack. He sounds like Nicolas Cage. He probably remembers being in the womb.
Maybe. I love this guy. He'd ride a scooter into the classroom, take his helmet off, put it on the desk. Be like, you want to know how to be more creative? Just take a new way to work. It just shakes you out of your rut, your routine. You see new things.
Cool.
And you'll be just a little bit more creative. But do something new each day. I feel like you do this, though. You're always doing something new. I mean, you're with your family. You'd always try something new at the
table. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we play new games, try new things. Yeah, I love it. New is fun. I get too bored too easy. What's challenge number three?
Challenge number three, swing for the fence on each task you do. Even if it's a menial task, you just decide, I am going to swing for the fence and just make this awesome. You want to know who inspires me? Those Portillo's number callers. You ever go to Portillo's?
Number 8, don't be late.
That's right.
Number 7, come get some heaven.
I love those guys. Yep. You want to know why? Because they could just call the number, but they decide they're going to swing for the fence and just make everybody's day with a rhyme.
Absolutely. Do you think they're supposed to do that? Like, do you think they're paid to do that? Or they just go for it?
I have no idea, but I like it. It inspires me.
You're right. I'm sorry for ruining it for you.
It's inspired me to just go on all the little things that I do throughout the week. I can have some fun and swing for the fence on it. Or you think about the baristas who make little designs in the cups of coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're just, you're taking a menial task, but I'm going to swing for the fence and I'm going to have a blast with it and do it fun.
It's a great idea.
Because those are the things, being a barista, being a Portillo's number caller, those are easy ways to just be in a rut, to find yourself in cruise control.
Those are great challenges. So try something, get 10% better at something this week. Try something new every day. Maybe start with tomorrow, going a different way to work. And number three, swing for the fences. Even on some little menial task, swing for it. Go out of the park.
That's right. God did not create you to be in cruise control your whole life. Shake yourself out. Let's go. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for jumping in. Hit that share button. Share this podcast, please. Maybe even review. I don't think we've had a review, Jordan, in over a year on our podcast.
Yeah, we'd love
for some canoers.
Listen, we love to review, but we also love to be reviewed.
That's right. Review the podcast.
Unless it's less than 5 stars.
If it's less than 5 stars, you're kicked out. Yeah. You will be on the blacklist. You're not allowed in.
You and Merv.
Have a good one, and we'll see you on the next river.
Got the orange dips and the puka shells.
Hey, orange dips are mine, okay? Nobody can have that. I have copyrighted the orange dips.